Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. Find out more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. And our thanks to highspeedweb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Well, lo and behold, who pops up here from neighboring Chester County but Shane Stewart, who is the Chester County Supervisor. We appreciate him coming up here. It's been a while, probably too long a while,
since he's been here.
But he is here now, by golly, ready to go. And we're going to be trying to update you as to what is going on down in Chester County. So, Shane, do me a favor. It's been so long. We need to get you to reintroduce yourself and tell everybody about your background.
Well, Manny, thank you for inviting me again to be here on the show. I was excited to come back again. It's been a while. I got elected back in 2015. I'm from Chester County. Been there, lived there all my life. But prior to doing that, I was working as a government contractor in Afghanistan. Worked there for 6.5 years all over the country. I could tell you just about anything you want to know about wonderful Afghanistan if you had questions about it. That's a whole nother show, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, the one question I have is, there's no way we can win a war over there.
There's no way.
Correct. No way.
Correct. That is correct. You got me.
Okay.
But, ran for office and lost the first election in 2015. Had it overturned for some irregularities and won in 2016, March of 2016, and I've served since.
So you come up every 2 years?
Every four years. Yes, sir.
So you up this fall?
No, I'm not up this fall. I was up 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
That's
all right.
Right.
So you're good to 2022 then.
Unopposed, right. 2 years ago, too. That was really good.
Yeah.
I hope that says a lot.
I hope that says a lot.
Yes.
So we're living through this pandemic, and I know everybody and their brother has been impacted one way or another. Tell us what's been happening in Chester County as a result.
It has been one roller coaster ride after another. I'm not gonna lie, it's just, there's been so many different things that we've had, challenges that government has to face. We've made more mistakes, we made made some good calls, we made some bad calls. We've worked together to try to address this thing. I mean, just the sheer thing, the thought of having to distance yourself while you're out in public is something, it's just real. I mean, it really is. And the virus itself is real. When you start having people that you know actually affected by the virus and their loved ones in intensive care, it's been a reality check. But I'm going to tell you, we have worked through it and tried to address every concern and go move along, but it's going to be very costly in the end. I don't know what it's going to cost at the end, but it's going to be costly.
Have you all gotten any of this CARES Act money?
We have, and man, that thing's got so many different. You got these rules, those rules, and then you have to certify this. It's so many different strings and stuff, and so many different plots. For depends on what it is. I mean, it might be EMS or EMA. There's so many different things that it helps fund. I mean, for example, one of them is going and cleaning after your work schedule and all that. Just making sure you have supplies on for that. It's been a jumble. We've actually used some of them to plus up our EMS. Our EMS, when it first started, the virus first started, it wasn't a lot of calls. All the calls dropped. I mean, even regular calls dropped. We were like, what's going on here? It was really weird, and I think the virus really scared a lot of people. But the second wave, it has hit. It is nonstop. We've had I think we've had at least 15 EMS employees out. From the administrator, the assistant administrator. I literally had a shift supervisor running EMS and briefing council. It got that bad. I've lost 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 department heads throughout the county. Nothing serious, but they had to quarantine for 15 days, which takes them pretty much out of commission. So it's been a challenge. It really has. And we've tried to address it along the way.
So Chester County employs roughly how many people? We need to take a look at everybody.
County employees, probably about 300.
About 300.
Right.
And in general terms, how many people have been impacted by this virus? Are those 300?
Oh, general terms. I'd hate to even guess. I don't know what the numbers are. I do tell you, every day I see the numbers, the infection rate that comes out, and I actually post those on our social media. Personally, I post those. Well, I've done that for the last 90 days, and that kind of gives us a guide to go by.
Right.
It doesn't tell you everything, but it's just a piece of the puzzle.
Okay, so your EMS has been impacted because
Absolutely.
You got so many guys have gotten sick, ladies and guys. So what other departments have been really shuttered as a result of this?
That's shuttered. Our building and zoning, just a couple weeks ago, they were down to one person, literally one person. We don't have a full-time building inspector. We actually have to contract for that. But one employee's out, another employee's out, and it was just like, are we going to be able to sustain? I mean, I almost ready to close the entire department. But the governor's order is to keep on, move on, keep trudging right. along. And so we've done what we can. Our building has been closed from the public for the longest I've ever known, at least over 60 days, 60 or 90 days. We haven't opened up yet just for the public, but public can still call, they can email, or if they really need to, they can set up a special face-to-face if we have to meet.
What about your courthouse?
Courthouse is that's another impact. By the orders, that's kind of weird because since I represent the legislative branch, then you got the judicial branch of government. They made orders and told them you close here, close there, and they went on a skeleton crew basically throughout this entire event. Now they've started plussing back up; they're open again, but it's masks are required in and out of all government buildings per the governor's order. So it's a challenge.
So when we go back to the CARES Act money, how much were you able to get to help you out with all this stuff?
Oh, it's, I think, about 75% of our costs. For example, for the EMS to plus up, that was $250,000, so 75% of that we'll get back. So it'll cost us about $40,000 or $50,000 or something like that.
Okay.
I'm bad with math now, Manny. I'll get it wrong.
So you're getting a reimbursement.
Reimbursement.
On acceptable expenses.
Correct.
To the level of about 75% of what those expenses were.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And one of the good ones that we used was we waived the fees so that you could pay your taxes online. You don't have to come into a building. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You could do it online, waive those fees. And we did that for about 90 days so that citizens can have more access.
So it doesn't sound like it's getting any better.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. But one good thing that's came out of this whole ordeal is that since we've taken ownership of the old Chester Natural Gas building, it has a drive-through window. We took advantage of that. We segregated some of our employees over there in case it really got bad, and we still have them segregated. They handle the people coming through that want to pay the taxes and get their tags for their vehicles and stuff, and it's a drive-through window. We've decided that's going to be a permanent solution, and we're going to keep that there because it's more convenient for the citizens to do that. Especially when tax time comes around, because people at the end of the month are standing in line. It is a cluster.
Well, you not only have the issues with running your own government, but then you've got the private sector. You take a look at all the restaurants down there.
Oh, yes.
Along the bypass and what have you. I mean, that's...
It hurts. Now, what really gets me is local business. Local businesses, that plays to the heart. So what we did, I spoke with the council. I said, look, I'd like to use some of my budget, and what we'll do is to help promote some of the keep people morale up around with our citizens or with our employees. What we did is we went around to different local establishments and ordered food, snacks, cupcakes, whatever it was, to keep people. We bought from the local and ended up feeding some of our employees.
Right.
So it worked. It was a pretty good. It's like a double-edged sword.
Is there anything else that you've done or planning to do to try to help the local businesses, I don't know, with some of your normal fees that you charge?
Right now, not that I'm aware of. And I'm not aware of any plans, especially for the city, because they actually charge the city business license. The county doesn't have a business license.
Okay.
There's not a lot of fees. We did waive the fees for building and zoning fees. and because you have a PayPal charges and stuff like that. Now, we did absorb some of those as well, and those numbers add up. It's about $40,000 a year with those fees and the credit card fees throughout the county. So it's a lot. It is a lot.
All right. Well, so there's the update with that. Now, I want to flip over to economic development.
Yes.
You just lost a long-standing Ballwork member of
VIP.
VIP.
We lost Tom Brady. Carlisa Dean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carlisa,
yes.
She is now officially retired?
She's retired, yep.
How long has she been gone?
I think since December.
All right. And how have you gone about filling that position?
Oh, I was excited about this, man. I was getting ready. We had a committee together. I had a joint committee with the Chester Development Association, with I-77 Alliance, and then the pandemic hit. So it's pushed us back. It's stalled us. It's so many different trips and falls and everything. For example, the salary really needed to be evaluated, and we updated that thing, and that person, whoever he or she is, when we finally do hire, will be the highest paid employee in the county. But we're still moving forward. It just put us back a little ways and all. So now we actually had to put it out for repost it and resubmit it so people will apply for the position again. We have Jeff Bridges, that is the acting economic development director, and he's wonderful. He's on point. He's very familiar with things and got spun up really quick by Carlisa.
Now, was he part of the staff there when Carlisa was there?
He was one of the managers. It's like the second in charge under that falls under economic development.
Okay. So what you're telling me then is you have reposted the job,
right,
with the new salaries and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
What's the cutoff for applications?
I'm sorry?
Cutoff for the applications? I mean,
we were going to get about 30 days, but actually I'm working right now with the Chester Development Association right now to try and get the get one of these headhunter groups to actually spurn some candidates to get some more people to apply, because there wasn't a lot of people applying when we first started, and then the pandemic hit, and it has really slowed a lot. So,
you're hiring a headhunter to give
you
some.
We're trying to hire. Yes, yes.
All right. So, you do not want to leave that job.
No,
open
no.
too it, long.
It's been open way too long right now that I'm not comfortable with right now, and we're feeling the heat on that.
Well, you know, I guess one of the positives of the pandemic is the phone probably isn't ringing as much as it was before all this started.
Amazingly, Jeff has had a lot of visits and has brought. We got like three or four projects already coming to council. Two of them that were approved. We're finishing up now, approving.
Anything you can tell us about?
Not right offhand, because I think we're not at that point to announce. They may have announced some stuff before, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay.
But yeah, there is. I mean, it's some good stuff. I mean, it's not the GT. It's not the well that we want. Ooh. But hey, it's economic development, though.
Well, you know, you don't get too many GTs in a lifetime. I mean, that's a big project.
Oh yeah.
So, what is the status of GT right now?
GT, they suspended operations for at least 2 weeks. They stopped. Then they put it another week or two on that, and finally they ramped back up and started back again. However, Hank, that was there since it began, has left and took another position. I don't know if he's with the same company and all that. So they actually have another guy that's taking his position. He actually called me and left me a message and all, just to introduce himself, because he's going to be working as the plant manager for GT.
Okay, I can remember that when GT first rolled this out, that their plans were to build that very first big building, which is huge, absolutely huge.
It is.
And get it operational, and then come back with a second one.
Right.
Now, has that phase been started at all?
That phase hasn't been started that I know of. They still have a certain time period to do that, because they have such a huge a fee in lieu of tax. I think it's like a 40-year thing. This thing's massive because of the amount of investment.
Sure.
And all that. But the good thing is they've more than invested the first go around, so we're excited about that.
Right.
And with what they've included in it.
Okay, so they're building tires. Are they fully ramped up in terms of fully staffed, or do they have to lay some people off during the slowdown?
They have lost employees, of course, through the pandemic as well, and they were already hiring. They're not fully staffed right now, but they're still working. I mean, they weren't before the pandemic, so this just slowed them down a little bit. So.
Okay, all right. We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. There's only one way to do it. It's the magical way that's on the cue card here. We're all going to say it together at three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden. All right, back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Cruise to financial freedom with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. With our low rates, there is no better time to apply. Get a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days by applying for your auto loan early so you know what to look for before you start shopping. You can also use our auto loan calculator in Founders Online to set your budget and plan ahead. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Comporium's Cloud Voice Services delivers carrier-class cloud PBX and hosted business phone services with all the features expected from a traditional phone system, plus unified communications, instant messaging, mobile apps, video conferencing, and more. Business Cloud Voice takes away all the guesswork by offering a cost-effective, pay-as-you-grow service. It doesn't skimp on quality or features. It won't hurt the bottom line, and it will continue to deliver innovative services year after year. Learn more online at business.comporium.com.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Shane Stewart is with us. He's the Chester County Supervisor, a job he's had for 5 years, and he's still able to talk about it. All right, one of the things that you all have recently done is, first of all, for those who have never been down to the Gateway, what a beautiful complex. That was a former automobile dealership that was acquired a number of years ago. And it just goes to prove you that if you have enough money, you can really change something.
Absolutely.
And you change it into something magnificent. But you also, I don't know how, but a year ago, less than a year ago, completed an expansion of the thing?
Yeah, we went back and there were some opportunities that we couldn't take advantage of because of the tax status when it was first financed. So we had to go back and refinance it, which changed the interest rates and stuff and allowed us to do whatever we needed to do with the parking lot and all that stuff like that and the building itself. So we did that. It's got an expansion, added to almost 10,000 square foot.
And so that's a huge room. I've been in that room, and it's massive. You can, matter of fact, I was down there. I think that's where Ralph Norman
yes.
announced his re-election bid.
Correct.
And the place was jammed. There was 1,000 people in there easily.
Easily.
It was quite something. So that's up and operational.
It is.
And now right next door, talk about timing. Yeah, you finally attract somebody to build a hotel.
Yes.
Which makes perfect sense. And it opened right as the pandemic was hitting.
Yes. It's a really a Holiday Inn Gateway is a beautiful hotel. It is really nice amenities. It's got a Cinnabon in the basement. I mean, in the floor of it. It's really great. Great mix with the Gateway and stuff. But then the pandemic hit, and it has put a strain on all of us, and as well as them as well. You know, hospitality. It's hard to get. Beds on pillows. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, heads on pillows, you know.
Yeah. We were just talking with Billy Dunlap, who walked through here, and he's our, well, he's one of our tourism experts, accommodations guy. And, mm-hmm. I mean, even here in Rock Hill, they're maybe back to 50, 55%, something like that. It's tough. Very tough.
It is.
All right, speaking of tough, you had a town hall meeting here. What was it, last night?
Yes.
Night before?
Absolutely. There's a recently formed group. They call themselves the steering committee, and they've come to council a couple times and just addressing certain issues and stuff. And they decided they wanted to start a better initiative in addressing stuff with elected officials and getting public out and involved and stuff. So they started that, and we had a town hall last night at the Chester War Memorial Building, and there wasn't a lot of people there. Of course, social distancing was being observed too, so. I don't know if that just scared people off or people just didn't want to be there, but there were several of us officials there. And all.
But you also put it on Facebook Live, right?
Yes, absolutely. It was on Facebook Live, putting that out there so people know, can comment. And we were actually answering questions from Facebook Live. Somebody was monitoring that as well, tried to answer those.
So was there any common theme in terms of what people were talking about?
Yeah, most common theme was they want us to do a better job working together of entities. The city of Chester, they invited all the city of Chester, and only one city council member showed up. We had at least five county council show up, and the sheriff. So, I mean, that said a lot. So. And we would like to be glad to work with any of our local towns and cities. Absolutely.
Well, it's the same old problem everywhere I've lived. It's just,
yeah,
it's not harmony between the cities and the counties. And
right.
I never quite understood all that. All right. So now this is probably the most interesting thing. I think I've lived here long enough to see the governmental form in Chester County switch several times.
Yes.
And here we go again.
Here we go again.
Give us some background on this.
Oh my goodness! It changed back in Carlisle Roddy was under investigation for FBI investigation, lost bid, and they changed the form of government for about 6 years to manager form of government. After about 6 years, the people decided they didn't like that and they wanted to switch back to supervisor form of government. They switched it back. Carlisle got reelected and it was back. So now and then I run against Carlisle, and then Carlisle lost, and 110 days into my administration, it's time to change the form of government again. So they've worked on this initiative. Now it's on the ballot this November, and the question now is, do you want to keep the county supervisor form of government, or do you want the administrator form of government?
Now, let me see if I can stumble through this. The primary difference, as I see it, between a supervisor and a county manager is a supervisor is elected, the county manager is appointed.
Correct.
Which means right now, if you're elected by the voters, they're the only ones that can fire you.
Correct.
By not reelecting you when you go up again. County manager can be fired, or city manager for that matter, can be fired by a majority vote of council.
Absolutely, absolutely. Four members of council can replace that person.
So do you think that's what's driving this?
I think so. I think that's the decisions behind that, and unfortunately a lot of them's taken some of the things that I've done and tried to make them take them to the extreme as if it's something bad to say, you've done this, you've done that. I'm doing what I'm legally supposed to be doing, and they're just doing that drive the point home to try to promote their initiative to change the form of government. It's sad. It's politics. It is politics. Got to love politics.
Well, with that being said, is there anybody, any citizens group down there saying, whoa, let's not change this?
There are several citizen groups. That one of them is that same committee that actually I talked about earlier. Before, we had the long-serving sheriff, Bobby Orr, that stood. He wanted it changed, and he got it changed back to supervisor form. He said that was a train wreck. He said he didn't want to ever get back to that again, and that was the manager form. He didn't like that form at all.
So are you reading the tea leaves on this? I mean, do you see when it comes in November this is going to be a tight vote? Or
I don't. I've done a couple of Facebook polls, and just talking to citizens, I don't see – it would shock me if it did get changed. That would really shock me because a lot of them, they don't want to do that. The other big thing that's pushing it is people don't want to give up their right to vote. They know, hey, if I give up the right to vote, chances are you ain't going to get it back. I mean, it's done. So this is an opportunity you get to put the top locally elected official in that position, and you get to say so. And people like that. They actually like that. And they like to give a call. Call me. Facebook, message me. I answer them all the time.
All right, so that's going to be on the ballot in November.
November, yep.
And we'll see what happens with that one. All right, what are we missing? We only got a couple minutes left in the program. What are we missing?
Also on the ballot is the 1% sales tax, capital project sales tax list. There's a multitude of lists of different projects across the county. I know up here in York County they do the pennies for progress. Down there we like to fix stuff and make parks and everything else. So there's a list of things on there, and it's up to the voters to go out there and make their decision and either vote for it or not.
Well, based on what happened with the school bond down there, it's not looking too good.
Now, there's one item on there that is going to cost is $4 million for the radio initiative to update our radios and stuff. But what voters need to know, if you commit to that $4 million, there's another $8 million. It's got to come along somewhere to add to it because it's a $12 million project.
So the 1% sales tax would generate roughly what?
This one will generate about, I think last estimates are about 18 to 19 million, I think it was.
A year?
Yeah, that's what the initial estimates, I think it's down to about 7, it might be 16, 17 now.
Well, we'll just say 16 to 18 million a year.
Yes.
And besides the, so you have a list of projects that you would do, it's kind of like the pennies project.
That's right.
And then you, once those projects are done, you have to go back to the voters again to renew the 1%.
That's correct.
So how many years is the 1% good for?
It's six years.
6 years.
Yes.
All right. So what are some of the other projects that are on there?
Oh, one of them is the in Great Falls, the old town store. They want to do a visitor center for the Whitewater Rapids. What people don't realize, they're putting in the Whitewater Rapids and down in the Catawba River, and it is a reality coming to fruition, and they're going to put in a welcome center.
So you've got projects that pretty much touch most of Chester County?
Absolutely. A project right up here in Lowry's, they upgrade to their nice little park up there. They got a project. Richburg, town of Richburg, upgrade to their park as well.
Good. All right. So that, too, will be on the ballot. Are you optimistic on that one?
I am just a little bit because of that radio thing. That's the only thing. It's a lot of very costly. Everything else, I kind of like that. I kind of like a lot of on the list.
Good. Well, Shane, thank you for coming up here today. Thanks for the work that you're doing down there. And
yeah,
we'll try not to make it a couple of years next time.
Absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely.
All right. Shane Stewart, the county supervisor in Chester County, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Of course, we hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. How do we do it? The count of three, we're going to tell you. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, 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 garden. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.